Are you tired of your content not getting the reach it deserves? Change that at Grow With Video Summit. From May 23rd through the 25th, join industry leaders like Gary Vee, Ollie Abdaal, Patrick Bet-David, Cody Sanchez, and more for strategies that will elevate your visibility and engagement. So go to summit.thinkmedia.com to secure your ticket. Just click the link in the description or go to summit.thinkmedia.com.
As a creator, it's such a unique career where no one gives you permission to take a break. Your audience is like, where's the next video? Where's the next video? We need to put responsibility on ourselves to take that break because nobody is going to tell us to do that.
Too many people start seven things all at once when they should start one, grow it up, let it fund the next couple projects that you want to launch.
Instead of looking at how much money can I make, what is the actual overarching mission of why I do what I do?
Let the numbers do the talking. Attention graphs, click-through rates, impressions.
If you try and chase two rabbits, you end up catching neither of them. But I think if you can chase one rabbit and put some automation around it and some team around it, then things can get interesting. So,
welcome back to the Think Media Podcast. Sean Cannell here, and I'm so excited because you're about to hear an unreleased Q&A session with Pat Flynn, Vanessa Lau, and myself from our event, Grow With Video Live. And by the way, if you haven't got tickets for Grow With Video Live yet, you can check out the link in the show notes. We're excited to welcome Pat Flynn back this year, Dave Ramsey, Shalene Johnson, myself, the Think Media team, and other great speakers. So definitely check out all of the details. But in this session, we get very tactical, and business owners, content creators, and those that want to make a greater impact and build their influence with video ask us questions. And so definitely check out the entire episode because we cover a lot of different topics with some tactics that you'll be able to apply to impact more people and grow faster right now. And today's episode is brought to you by Tube1KChallenge.com. We're doing a free 5-day challenge all about how to get your first or next 1,000 subscribers. But I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. And you can check out everything in the show notes as usual. But now, let's jump into the session with Vanessa and Pat Flynn.
We're going to do this. We're going to give them 20 seconds each to say whatever they want. Starting with Pat, you can introduce yourself or say thank you or tell us a joke.
So I was talking to somebody who didn't know who I was, and I was like, hey, this is my story. And they said, how long have you been doing this? And I said, since 2008. And he said, wow, you're old. And so I've been at this for quite a while. I have a lot of experience. Really happy to share some of that with the questions that are coming on today. And then later on the keynote stage. Really stoked to be here. Proud of you for putting on.
Oh, that's right. Pat's one of our speakers as well, which you might know, but he is this afternoon. So you're not going to miss that as well. Amazing. Amazing.
Really, really grateful to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. Vanessa.
Yeah, well, I'm on the polar opposite side where I've only been at it for 3 to 4 years. And to be able to sit next to these goats that I was like creeping and watching videos on figuring out how to start my channel just 3 years ago, super humbling. And so I feel like for those of you guys who are just starting out, maybe you're newer to your journey, I think I can really relate to that because I was there not long ago. And so just know that whatever is possible for me being on this stage with these two incredible gentlemen is totally possible for you. And so that's why I shared that Valley of Death, because if you are aware of the roadblocks that are ahead, you can then prepare for them. And that's kind of what my hope is for you guys, is to be able to prepare and future-proof your channels or your video creation or whatever else. So thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. All right, we'll start on this side and we'll go back and forth. Go ahead, sir.
Hey guys, I'm Tariq. Thank you for having me. What are your tips on managing a business page versus a personal brand page? Every marketing business is doing really well. I'm pretty intimidated by starting over with my personal brand now. I know you guys have like Think Media and then your own page. For somebody that's doing everything on their own, what are your tips for managing? I'm intimidated to start a whole nother Instagram, whole nother TikTok, whole nother, I could barely figure one out. Now I got to figure out a whole nother one out. So what are your tips on that?
To be clear, you don't mean literally like an Instagram or Facebook business page versus a personal. You mean like a brand like Think Media versus Sean Cannell.
Yes, managing both without going crazy.
Yeah. Well, to speak from our experience, man, the power of focus is everything. Like if there's something you could take away, like Essentialism is one of our favorite books at Think Media, getting focused. And we always say, if you try and chase two rabbits, you end up catching neither of them. But I think if you can chase one rabbit and put some automation around it and some team around it, then things can get interesting. So I think of Think Media, like I'm focused on building Think Media, and Sean Cannell leads to that. But there's actually a personal brand that I'm interested in building. Like I have a YouTube channel that I don't upload on that'll maybe be more about leadership in the future. But even with 25 people on our team, with an eight-figure company, I don't think I'm ready to split and divide my focus yet. So I think that anything that splits your focus should be avoided at all costs. I would focus on whichever thing is strongest to create the most amount of revenue that you could reinvest in team and automation that would then allow you the margin to potentially start something else. Too many people start seven things all at once when they should start one, grow it up, let it fund the next couple projects that you want to launch. That would be my take. Anything?
Yeah. Optimize what you have going on first to get that time back to then devote into something else. And I will also say another thing I love to do when there's decision moments like this in my life is I like to go into the DeLorean, travel 88 miles per hour, and think about 5 years from now, what does my perfect day look like? Does it involve these two brands? Is it only one of them? This way you can reverse engineer your perfect day and exactly what your life to be like, because I think too many entrepreneurs, we just say yes to the opportunity because it's an opportunity that we're worried that is not going to be around anymore. And then I talk to so many people who are successful on paper, they have multiple businesses, and they're miserable because they're designing something that isn't actually fulfilling for them. So keep that in mind. Think about the future and then reverse engineer from there.
Got it. So automate one, then work on the other. Got it. Thank you.
Appreciate you, sir.
All right. My name is John Barbera, and this is more of a mindset question. So we came over to this country from Argentina when I was seven, grew up here. As an immigrant, my only thing in life was surviving. Like just work just to survive. I've been blessed enough to build a business where recently I've hit really good success and we've really grown where now fighting to survive is no longer a thing and I've lost motivation. Like I've just, you know, I've been working since I was 15. I dropped out of high school. That's all I know how to do. And now I'm just at a point where I have success that I've never seen in my family. I don't know how to manage it. I don't know what to do. I've lost motivation. I know there's a lot more growth still left in my business. There's so many ideas I have. I just don't have that fire under your ass to really get you to those points. So, yeah.
Why did you start in the first place?
What's that?
Why did you start in the first place?
Survival. For survival. I mean, it was all I knew. I grew up in construction. I wasn't legal in this country most of my life. So I didn't have an option of going to college, getting a job, doing anything. So I kind of transitioned into real estate investing. It was something I could do while not having papers, not being able to do that. So it's kind of what I grew up in. I love teaching. I love showing how we do. That's why I have the YouTube channel and everything. And I love doing that. That is my passion. But once I hit that level of success where it's like the income is coming in, I don't necessarily have to work for it. It keeps coming in. I kind of hit a level of depression and I've been in it for a few months now and I have ideas, I have things and I'm trying to get out of it and push myself out of it. And it's just, I fall right back in it. So I don't know.
I mean, I definitely resonate with that because I actually found my business by accident. I just hated my job so much. I was in so much pain. I was in survival mode. And then that's why I started to turn towards YouTube. And for a while in my business, I was just chasing money. I wanted to make as much money as possible so I didn't have to go back to the 9-to-5 again. And like you, I got to a place where I had enough money. And then I also lost motivation. And so at that point, I had to use a different metric of success. And instead of just looking at money, which to me was survival, and it was linked to a lot of money mindset, a lot of abandonment issues, just a lot of fear of losing it all, I really had to reprogram my mind and really take a step back and being like, what is my mission here? Instead of looking at how much money can I make, what is the actual overarching mission of why I do what I do? And especially when you start working with a team, your team's going to need to know that mission too. And so for me, I realized, like, you know what? My mission in my business is to help as many content creators get visible and get paid so that they don't have to feel the same way that I did back then. And so that really helped me. So that was one mindset shift that I had to do, was tie my business to an actual mission, not just a revenue goal or a profit goal, because I was already hitting those things and I wasn't motivating myself. Then the second shift that I had to make was really being okay with stillness. What is the rush of needing to scale and grow every single year? And I think social media conditions us to feel like we need to be growing our social media channels like 200% every single year, double it. Same with our revenue. But is it okay to just chill and to reap the benefits, to actually enjoy the fruits of your labor? Instead of focusing on scaling a business and growing a business, why don't we focus on just building something awesome? And when you actually shift that mindset of building, you realize like building something great takes time, and it's okay to just relax and chill, and not every year needs you to be in survival mode.
John, here's what you need. One thing, steaks. And I don't mean Porterhouse, New York, that kind of steaks.
But those would be good too.
Those are great.
Yeah.
You need something at stake to get you motivated. Because in the beginning, your life was at stake. That's what got you to move. But what got you here won't get you there. But if you don't know where there is nothing at stake. And without the drive, you cannot thrive. So you have to find the next level of something that provides stakes, a challenge that you could, with your experience and your knowledge, you could bring. And maybe that is outside of you now. Maybe you have some sort of philanthropic effort that what's at stake is the lies or the condition or who or whatever of this other group, that if you don't do what you need to do, then they will suffer. So we need to try to have the, I mean, it's kind of an existentialist sort of situation, but you need to find the next thing that's going to drive you, that if you don't do the thing that you want to do, something else, like there's a consequence of sorts, but it's outside of you now. You've reached that goal. You finished that marathon. What's your ultra marathon? We got to find that.
Really strong.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate you. Good, great question.
Hey, how's it going? My name is Alex. I'm a video strategist. So my question to you guys is, so I have a few clients who I manage their YouTube channels, right? And I know like right now, thumbnails are important. And right now, it's very popular for certain thumbnails for YouTube channels to be kind of cartoony, like with emojis and fire in the background. Exactly, like those faces. Now, my issue is some of these clients, I don't think those type of thumbnails fit their personal brand. And I know there's different styles, like a little bit more minimalist, et cetera. So my question to you guys is, how do you know what type of thumbnail is perfect for whose personal brand?
Question for you. Do you want to learn the best tips and strategies that are actually working right now to start your channel, to grow your following, to get more views, and to earn money from home and all around the world in the creator economy? If the answer is yes, then make sure to register for our free 5-day challenge at tube1kchallenge.com. Not only are you going to get access to 5 deep dive sessions where you're going to be learning tips, strategies, and even hearing from guest experts about how they're growing their YouTube channels right now, but we also have an incredible, encouraging, and supportive community. We do giveaways and there's all kinds of special surprises. So make sure to register at tube1kchallenge.com for our next live challenge.
Let me ask you the question. How would you know for sure?
Testing it out, of course.
Yes.
But the issue with some of my clients is they see what's popular and what's working for other people, and they just want to copy that.
Okay, let them copy it. And then show them that their CTR is really low because they have a completely different audience than people who watch Mr. Beast challenges.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So let the numbers do the talking, right? Like, that is literally what's driving the Pokemon channel right now, is numbers. Attention graphs, click-through rates, impressions, etc. Make sure to check out Evan Carmichael's talk, because he's going to talk a lot about that, I'm sure. That's it. There's nothing else to say.
And then I would also say that I think we feel forced into the extreme of you got to make weird faces, but the best practices of things like people's eyes, emotion, a little bit brighter color, the rule of three in a thumbnail, that there's a story being told, still apply. And so you don't have to be weird and cartoony. You know, tomorrow morning, Alex Hormozi is going to be speaking. And if you look at his thumbnails, he has a lot of more stoic faces. I don't see cartoony faces necessarily, but at the same time, he'll do one where they'll make his eyes cry crazy like PewDiePie's. And so they kind of will play in both worlds. I think you can stay on brand and still apply best practices. And I think if you marry best practices with also what Pat is saying, let the data speak for itself, you can just find a cadence that should work for your clients.
Okay. Thank you.
Appreciate you.
So I'm Aaron Smith from St. George, Utah. It's kind of a smaller area. Maybe people from Vegas might know where St. George is, but I do eye care. I'm an optometrist there, two channels. I just started one 8 weeks ago, brand spanking new Stone Canyon Eye Show. And the other one, Super Ukulele Instruction. And that's a kind of an older channel that I neglected, Valley of Death. Yeah, that was that one right there. But I'm going to revive both of those. My question, Sean, first of all, thanks for holding this event this time of year in Vegas. Happy for that. Yeah. But question is, in starting a brand new YouTube channel, I know you guys probably get asked questions a lot on the fastest way to grow one, but this one's relating to YouTube ads or paying to like boost a post that, where you're trying to get the word out on a new video and generate buzz prior to videos coming out. Is it worth investing a few bucks, in ads to do it? I know ultimately content is king. You know, it's really the value and enjoying the process, enjoying what you do and the channel. But is there any strategy in utilizing ads, YouTube ads or Facebook, boosting or anything like that in growing a brand new channel from scratch that has not a ton of momentum early on?
I mean, for me, I feel like the only time it makes sense to boost something and actually pay for that type of visibility is if you already know who you're targeting. Because you could be driving traffic to your YouTube channel, but if you don't have any other content pieces there or you don't have the funnel packed down, you could be wasting a lot of money just for visibility that doesn't actually convert. Right. And so there's a time and a place for that, but I don't think that if you're starting something from scratch, that is the time of place for me personally.
I think it's worth experimenting with. You don't have to spend very much to see if it's working or not. Yes, ads can work. How do we know this? Four words. Here in my garage. They work. But to Vanessa's point, we want to make sure we're in front of the right people and we're providing value, et cetera. I think a lot more effort and maybe money. I mean, you're already doing it. You spent money to be here in the room with the right people. Relationships are going to get you further much faster, in my opinion. And it just takes one mention from some bigger influencer's channel to really get things sparking. And that's where I would put a lot of my focus in. That's what helped with the Pokemon channel.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, and I would say just rare exceptions of organic growth from ads. There are some, but in my opinion, ads are for direct response marketing. When you have a business model and you can track that your clients or leads for your eye care business, then of course YouTube ads are probably one of the best ad platforms right now. But in terms organic growth, I think a lot of times should be grown organically. And when you dial in your content like Pat has, and you find the right content for the right audience and the right way to edit, and ultimately the YouTube algorithm will do magic for your channel. And ultimately, we should be doing both. We should have a business model where there's income-producing opportunity. Thank you, sir. We should have a YouTube channel that, or a business model where there's a way to earn money from driving traffic with paid ads. That's a great way to scale. And at the same time, we should have organic. Some people go all paid. Some people say it's all organic. I think the best do both and have a bigger vision ultimately. Thanks for the question.
Thank you so much.
Hi, my name is Cherry. So I retired early at 25 years old for my mental health, and now I teach people how to retire early. So my focus is on mental health, and my question is, I know like the life of an entrepreneur, and you always want to, be better and do more, and you feel like if you're not doing enough, you're not making an impact. So how do you balance between that, making an impact and, managing your mental health and taking care of yourself?
I mean, that's such an important topic, right? You need to take care of yourself or else you won't even be able to take care of others, right? You're on a plane, you put the mask on yourself first before others. For me, it was a book called The Company of One by Paul Jarvis that really spoke to me because it helped me understand that I didn't just need to grow because that's what everybody else is doing. If I'm going to grow, I want to grow because I have goals that I'm getting toward, and then I can say, okay, I made it, and then I can sort of decompress a little bit or take some time off. That's been really helpful. And then also taking sabbaticals every once in a while has been really important. Just kind of stepping away every once in a while, even if it's for just a couple days or sometimes a couple weeks, when I get back into it, I have more energy, more focus, and such. And then finally, the big thing I do for mental health is I talk to other people who see things that I don't about myself. I have mastermind groups that I'm a part of and whatnot. You know, you can't read the label when you're inside the bottle. And I need friends to tell me, hey, Pat, you look like you're burning out or just going crazy here. Are you okay? And I can step back and then, you know, hear it from the outside. And it often means more than when I just tell myself those things.
Yeah, one thing that really spoke to me was understanding the paradox of permission. And what that means is, as a creator, it's such a unique career where no one gives you permission to take a break. When you decide to, like, when you get tired or whatever, your audience is like, where's the next video? Where's the next video? Unlike working a 9-to-5, you've got someone being like, hey, you got to take a vacation, or you got to use this, or you got to do that. And so we need to put responsibility on ourselves to take that break, because nobody is going to tell us to do that. And what's worked really well for me is being transparent and building that relationship with my audience, where I can train them and let them know, hey, I'm taking a break. This is when I'm coming back, and this is what you can expect from me. And the response that I usually get when I do that is, oh my gosh, well, take care of yourself. I'm so excited to have you back later on. You know, you are our number one priority, because they know that the content's not going to be great if I'm not feeling great. And so I always work with open communication with my audience instead of just ghosting out of nowhere. I'm honest with them. This is what I'm going through. This is why I need to take the break. I'm really excited to come back even stronger than ever. And it's always received incredibly well. And so I highly recommend having that open dialogue with your audience. There's also another creator that I follow, and she actually tells her audience that, hey, once a month, every week, I'm off the grid. Because instead of taking like a whole month off of vacation, she'll actually bake it into her month. So every month she'll take 1 week, she'll fly somewhere, she'll just be off of social media. And that's just a part of her schedule. And she lets her audience know that. So similar to how we train our audience, like, hey, I post a video every Sunday, you can also tell your audience, hey, once every quarter, I'm going to be off the grid. And this is, you know, how we'll take care of you while I'm away. My team will take care of you, whatever else, but I'll be away. And so expect me to be back on this day. And so that's really helped managing expectations, because a lot of the stress that causes us not to take a break is because of the expectations of others. And so when you're able to manage those expectations as a creator, you become a lot less stressed about taking a break. Why would we ever stress about taking a break? Like, come on, that's just crazy, right? And so try to manage those expectations with your audience, because that's where most of the pressure usually comes from as a creator.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Strong.
Hi, my name is Marsha, and I first want to tell Vanessa, thank you so much for what you spoke on. It's amazing to me that in such a short amount of time, you've been able to gain all of this information, which was a lot of what you said. I've had a channel for a while. I'm probably in that second valley down there, and I'm trying to dig my way back out. I'm also a Gemini, but some people don't follow that, with ADD. So, you know, I'm everywhere, but nowhere. So the ultimate goal for me is, I don't know if this is called a media company or what it is, but I love Goop. That's a website that I follow. There's a little bit of everything in there. I started out doing makeup and beauty videos, and I am bored. I am bored to tears with putting on that little lipstick and saying how great this is and what I think about it. And I think a lot of other people are in that same boat. They don't want to watch that anymore because it's been overdone. So since my ultimate goal is to have, is it called a media company? Is that, or a lifestyle company? A what? It's a production company. Okay, that's new. So my ultimate thing is to have this production company. Where do I start? I have a few videos with makeup. I'm bored. I can't do it. I mean, I just, and then I sit there for 5 hours and edit it myself, and I'm just, oh, God.
And so are you just bored of the topic that you're creating videos on? What does that have to do with creating another company?
I don't know.
Is it just like pivoting a niche, or are you?
I don't know. What I've heard you say, you know, you may need to niche up. I'm learning that word, and I've was always thought that I was supposed to niche down and just stay with that lipstick.
But you were in phase 0 to 1, though, right? You're not in phase 3.
I have probably 12 videos. You know, they get one view, and I'm like, oh, my God, I just spent all this
time.
So
I have a question. I have a question for you.
Okay.
If your videos were taking off, they had 50K views, 100K views, would you still do makeup?
No.
Okay, so now it's clear that it's just not a topic that you want to do.
No.
And so is there anything stopping you from just pivoting? If it wasn't makeup, what would it be?
lifestyle, but which part of it is what, I mean, can I do, you know, can I make different groups on my YouTube channel? This is the lifestyle, this is the food, this is...
I did, like, here's some budgeting videos, here's some productivity videos, here's some mindset videos, and it was, like, my first 12 to 18 videos I was really, like, experimenting around, but it still fit an umbrella. So, like, think about my cover banner. It was like, this is the go-to place for millennials for X, and I kept it broad, but it still felt organized.
Right.
And so I recommend that you actually experiment with those topics within lifestyle.
Okay.
See where it takes you. And you may eventually need to niche down once you notice, like, hey, these videos are picking up about this specific subject. Or, hey, I really like enjoying doing these types of videos, not these types of videos. And then experiment with that.
Okay.
That would be my recommendation.
Okay. All right. That's what I'll do.
I love that. Experiment. But we need to have something that is the thread between all these different videos. And you know what that thread is? You.
Okay.
Marsha Magic. That's right. What lives in each of these videos. So you'll have to discover what it is that's unique about you. What's your superpower? What can you contribute to? Whatever the video is about that a person would watch and go, oh, that's totally a Marsha video. I could tell.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
That will live in there. And then you can experiment. You might find one bucket doesn't do very well, but bucket two is crushing it. Okay, do more of those videos. Do a follow-up and just make that your own. But that Marsha magic lives in there.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I can sprinkle a little of that.
Marsha magic.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Ma'am.
I'm Jane, a weight loss coach, and I'm the person that said I'd never be on YouTube. I'm not going to do YouTube. I have a weight loss coaching business that's built successfully on Instagram and Facebook. And then November 2021, Reels took over, engagement just dipped. And with that went motivation. And I was still saying, I'm not doing videos. I do not want to do videos. I've succeeded without any videos on social media. And I have a great business. I've changed my mind. I want to do YouTube. And I did start a YouTube channel 5-6 years ago when I used to do a lot of fitness, working out. And that channel has 8,000 subscribers that I've
never tried.
Yeah.
So now the question is, what advice do you give somebody who's already established, who's trying to get on YouTube? Going back to the question the guy asked, should we start by running ads? I've heard that YouTube ads are reasonable, more than Facebook ads. Do I start from scratch?
The place I'd take this actually first is a question I think everybody in VIP and Platinum should answer. And it is, what is the shortest path to revenue and what is your business model? And so, does your business operate through coaching? Do you need leads? And so, you know, what's kind of funny is that sometimes, of course, we're here to help you grow organically, you know, on YouTube, but I like to sometimes ask, like, what do you really want? I mean, that was the opening session. Of course, maybe you want to future-proof your personal brand, or do you want a lot of subscribers because you also kind of want to impact more widely free information and get more clients? Or do you just want to get more clients? Because on the one hand, coming from the YouTube guy, this probably won't help me promote my book, but like, why even build a YouTube channel? You could just run ads without ever growing a channel organically, if you did it effectively to a page that gets you leads, that leads to enough clients, that helps you reach your financial goals. And so just a different way of looking at it, you know, Vanessa could help you master Instagram and you could get enough leads from Reels and how you do social selling, DMs, and Jasmine Starr will talk about that tomorrow, and also reach your goals. So what does winning look like for you ultimately?
So I'd be getting on YouTube for more visibility, not necessarily trying to grow the channel to monetize the channel, but to get more eyeballs who then can get funneled down into all the things I have for my coaching programs.
And then let me ask you one more question. Like, do you have money to invest right now? Is your business still doing well?
My business has been doing great.
Great. So these are important. This is great reverse engineering. You could also invest in people helping you. It sounds like what you want to do then is really build like a rocking YouTube channel. My take would be, I would probably get help from the start and maybe an editor or a shooter because you have money to invest. I would treat YouTube like a brand new small business that you're starting, and I would put money behind it, mainly in team and learning how YouTube works. And I would then put out great content. You're making the absolute right move, in my opinion, by building up your personal brand, best asset you could have. It'll lead to more business. But I think also it could blow up quick, but it's also there's something about the dips Vanessa taught us, that a willingness to start at the 1,000 subscribers you have and get comfortable in creating content, build the systems necessary to, you know, consistently create content. And I don't know if you want to drop a few thoughts on that, but I would approach it as like a new arm of your business, invest dollars into it, and I would go all in because you've said you want to go all in on YouTube and scale it up.
I think YouTube is a great play for coaches, for an authority play, because it differentiates you from the podcasters and the bloggers who aren't willing to put themselves on video. And if I'm going to hire a coach, I want to see who I'm getting coaching from. So I think YouTube is a very smart play for that reason. And I think one thing that you could do to start out maybe easier would be to just answer questions. One question per video. Now you become a resource. And whenever your team gets questions, now you have a video to send people to answer it that then saves you time. That's how I initially launched my YouTube channel, my Pat Flynn YouTube channel, and just... that's our repository for answering questions, and now it helps with customer service. And not only are they getting the answer to their question, they're now on my YouTube channel and seeing somebody that they could potentially hire for coaching. Even though we don't do coaching, we get asked because people see us or see me. So for that reason, it could be a great strategy as well.
Yeah, I mean, your authority automatically increases no matter what niche the moment you start talking about your industry and what you do on video. And so I absolutely agree that it's the right play for you to focus on YouTube. There was one thing you said I found was interesting, though. You said, I'm already established, though. Yeah. So how do I do that? In my mind, even if you're established on another platform, the moment you start another platform, you're with the rookies again. Yep. I'm super...
That's my worry. Like, I'm going from ground zero.
Yeah, and if you have that mindset of like, oh, I'm a rookie, you know, I might as well not start, you're going to get stuck in that valley of death. I don't think any of us have a free pass on any of the platforms. For me, like, I thought that I was going to crush it on TikTok because I have 500,000 subscribers on YouTube. And then I started TikToking and I was like, damn, getting my ass kicked on this platform.
Yeah.
Now I got to really figure out how to like actually optimize this thing. So I think it's also a mindset too of being able to humble yourself and learn the basics of YouTube instead of kind of thinking like, oh, but I already have all this money in my business. I was so successful on Instagram. How come YouTube's not working? You know, you kind of do start a little bit from scratch when you decide to do a new platform, and you want to, in your mind, slot time for that and know that it's going to be a journey that you need to be patient with. Any YouTube channel, any business can work so long as you have the patience to see it out.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you.
Hi, my name is Alex Ramon, and I think my question is a perfect follow-up to what she said. And my question is, you, Vanessa, you said you have video editor and then you change video editors. And then Sean, you had your team and you used to video edit, and I'm sure you still do at times, but now you have a team to build. Where are you finding, I've been on Fiverr to try and video editors. Where do you find these team members that actually you will like connect with? Again, with Sean, now you have people that work with you and for you directly. So it's easier than just emailing, messaging back and using the software that you mentioned, Vanessa, with the editing, number one. And then the second part of the question was, when you're filming, and now that there is such a need for vertical video, so long I've taught people whenever they video anything for me, horizontal, always go horizontal, and now it's vertical. I'm finding trouble in the editing that I'm doing, turning the portrait, the landscape into vertical video, because it crops things out if I move, shifting, and just adds another layer. So I have seen people video on two like phones. One's in portrait, and one's in landscape. And you have two phones going, and I'm like, this is too much. Like, I can't. So kind of, I guess, workflow efficiency with vertical and vertical and landscape, and or scaling up with a team around you, specifically editors, because that's what I need.
So two great questions. I'd love for all three of us to answer, because I'm sure we've all had a unique path. So, and then we'll take them one at a time. So let's talk about how'd you hire and find your team, starting with Vanessa?
Yeah, for video editing, my first video editor, who was great, was actually from my community. I literally said, hey, I'm looking for a video editor, and I found someone who actually knew my content really well, and we jived really well. My second video editor was from a referral, so I kind of like talked to other people, who's your editor and whatever else. But funny enough, my third editor is from Upwork, and she was probably one of the best editors that I've ever had. And the process that we went through on Upwork was we put out a job posting, and we had people actually submit clips and do a test project. So I went through like a bunch of video editors to see which one I liked the best. And so that way, whoever I hired, I had an idea of, can they actually understand my video brief? Do they have a style that I like? And do they take feedback well? Are we good with communication? So that's kind of how I did it. And then eventually I just asked her, like, hey, do you want to not work with multiple clients? So every time I hire a contractor, I always ask this question. Are you looking to work with a lot of clients and build up your own agency one day? Or are you interested in working with one client only and have a really long-term relationship? And the moment they say yes to the latter question, I'm like, great, there's an opportunity for us to absorb them as someone who's doing work for us more full-time.
And one of the frameworks that she broke down there was great. Shoot a Dropbox folder of a bunch of clips of yourself, Upwork.com, and then let multiple editors have their way with it based on whatever information you give them, as opposed to just going one at a time, because someone might just submit it to you. You're like, wow, you did better than I even thought you would by just sending them a Dropbox folder and then putting out that job hiring description on Upwork.com. Pat Flynn.
I can plus one Upwork as well. Although I've never hired a video editor there, I've hired almost everything else, including an attorney for certain things as well. I don't want to talk about it right now. And then, like Vanessa was saying, just asking around, like literally asking my friends, like, hey, who's editing your videos? Oh, do they have extra time? Cool. Because if they have extra time, they want to support their video editor. So that's how I've done it.
Yeah. And my experience is a little bit more unique, I think, because I was a video editor as my main skill set. So it was also difficult because it was very hard to let go of. And ego is a real thing that blinds us, man. Like, it's, you know, you don't think anybody else could do it as good as you. That's not true. They can. And you also don't want to let go of things. And I also thought that on Think Media, people were going to be like, dude, he sold out, man. I can't believe that Sean handed the editing off. And I remember I went on meetup.com here in Las Vegas. I started to go to creative meetups, like blogging meetups, podcasting meetups. One was actually called Las Vegas Creatives Meetups. And I met a guy named Jay, and again, local community, and he started to edit for us. And I remember when he did it first, and us was my wife and I, so we're just starting, you know. And one of the first times he finished a video and I uploaded, I go, this is it. This is the fall of Think Media. I was like, tomorrow the comments, they're going to say, Sean, how could you? You stopped editing. We can tell. You've sold out. How dare you? And this is the end. That's literally what's going through my head. And then I uploaded the video, and guess how many comments I got about there being different editing? Zero. So I don't know who needed to hear that, but like, there is something about just taking a risk, stepping out. I think kind of the takeaways in some of this was, yeah, it was local community. I had a summer intern, Ron, who now has an incredible job doing video and creative, but he just interned, and by intern, might not be legal, but I gave him a $100 Amazon gift card at the end of the summer for, laws are different in LA, but I don't know. Don't tell anyone.
I have an attorney for you.
Yeah. But thank God Ron's doing great. But just starting out local, and then some of these other Upwork, these are great. And we could I do want to hit the second question as well, if you don't mind, because I think it'll add value to the room.
Yeah, the vertical versus the...
Vertical, real quick, what do you think?
For me, I usually keep that in mind when I'm filming, so I'll stand extra back, knowing that I'm going to need to crop it. So I actually make a conscious effort to put my camera a bit farther away.
So you're always filming in landscape, and you're just making sure that you're giving yourself a buffer. So when you crop invert, okay.
Especially if I'm repurposing from YouTube. But a new strategy that I want to do is I actually want to make a solid effort of doing short form videos that are optimized for short form, because I find that sometimes when you're repurposing from a YouTube video, there's no clear start and end, and it just feels a little choppy. So one thing that I'm thinking of doing now is when I do my YouTube videos, I'll actually slot extra 30 minutes to kind of like think about the main tips and then film actual like 15, 30-second clips from that video that's optimized for short form.
Really smart.
Yeah, like I've done that before where it's like I have a long video and then I refilm it, you know, and so it's not, it's the same content, but it's obviously a different take. Mm-hmm. And one is vertical, one is...
Yeah, sit farther away. That'll help you a lot.
I do the same thing. Do it in 4K so that when you zoom in, it's still great quality, and then you'll be good.
Crispy. Thank you so much. One last question. We have just a few minutes here.
Hi, I'm Don Reimel, and my content is about a nomadic lifestyle. And my question is, as I'm looking at using single question answers as a way to be searchable and to build a community, I'm looking in my niche. It's very, very common to have sort of a weekly vlog of things that are going on. If you're in Mount Zion, you know, going to Zion or traveling to Yellowstone or just traveling to Alaska. My question is I have very short content. I have a very purposeful vlog piece. Is it practical to add long content using a podcast, coming up with, you know, kind of a structured way of doing it for like about 20, 25 minutes? And then that gives the flexibility that if I want to touch upon a topic that needs a little bit more added to it, I can use a podcast for it.
Yeah, the podcast situation on a short form channel is very interesting. I'm sure we've talked about that a lot in the hallways already, because there is some concern about putting long form content to an audience that's used to consuming things in short form, because if they see that, they're going to leave, and that's going to signal to YouTube that, hey, people don't stick around on this channel, and that's going to, like, your other videos may suffer. What I see a lot of other creators doing is they are creating clips that then live on the short form channel, and then yet they have another channel that's separate that is for the long form podcast. However, I will say there is some stuff in the grapevine about YouTube doing something in the podcasting space to then better separate but also include on the same channel longer form content. I don't know what that's going to look like or when. They've also said they want to do split testing thumbnails for 4 years, so I honestly don't know what the timeline might be, but... you could wait for that or create a separate channel is what I would recommend and then utilize the shorts.
Yeah, because I wouldn't bet on what they might do. And by the way, Don, so grateful you're here. Appreciate you so much. And thank you for being a part of Grow a Video Live. All right, listen, I hope you got value out of that Q&A session with Pat and Vanessa. And if you watch the YouTube version, I would love to know your biggest takeaway. If you're on audio, maybe at least hit the stars on Spotify or leave a review on Apple Podcasts. It seriously moves the needle and really helps the show grow and impact more people. I want to remind you, if you haven't got your ticket for Grow a Video Live, Pat Flynn is one of our speakers this year, including Dave Ramsey. We have some other special announcements and surprises. So join us for growwithvideolive.com. Smash like or rate and review if you loved this episode. And make sure you're subscribed because we have some power-packed episodes coming up soon. Again, my name is Sean Cannell, your guide to building a profitable YouTube channel. And this is the Think Media Podcast. Thanks for listening.